Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Tonight we follow up on a key story that we've been following through with at least for the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, but one that has certainly garnered and gained a significant amount of momentum in the last year. Canal Plus, a French conglomerate which is essentially controlled by Vivendi Group, first made a move to acquire MultiChoice in early 2024. And since then, as we know, conclusions and of course deliberations have been made by the competition authorities, by the shareholders and key and relevant stakeholders involved to essentially agree to this deal. And MultiChoice today, through a SENS announcement, had shared some very slight details regarding how they look to reorganize some of their South African entities ahead of the Canal Plus deal. To remind us of the ring fencing of the South African assets, terms and conditions that need to be adhered to from the Competition Commission, and of course, just a review of how what was once a pursuit now leads to a concluded deal, is a good colleague and friend of mine. We've often had conversations around MultiChoice, Mudiwa Gavaza, business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail. Mudiwa, always good to speak to you, Shamwari.
Always good to talk to you, Google.
Awesome. This is a story that we have been following through with for quite some time, Mudiwa. And I do recall that in the beginning, you know, we just thought that this was a polite pursuit of Canal Plus, of MultiChoice. But one thing's quite certain, they were very clear and intentional about the shareholding and acquisition of additional shares within the business over some time. Maybe just give us a refresher just in terms of how long this potential deal has been underway for.
Well, right now we are possibly in the, I'm going to call it 20th or so month that we've been following this particular story since the start of last year. I remember when you and I started talking about this, we were using the analogy, you know, of a courtship. And once upon a time, you know, MultiChoice was being pursued, you know, by Canal Plus and was playing a little bit hard to get. And, you know, and staving off the advances that were coming through Canal Plus. But after some time, Canal Plus Canal Plus's advances were met with MultiChoice reconsidering and actually saying, actually, maybe we're stronger together than, you know, me staying by myself. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we are now in September 2025, where before they can make the deal final, there are a couple of conditions that need to be met, especially in addressing that issue around local ownership of an entity that owns a broadcast license.
Yes.
You know, in South Africa, you know, the courtship is about to conclude. And maybe the parents of the bride have said, it's all good, you guys can continue, but before we deliver the bride to your house, we need to just make sure that you need to set up your house in a specific way.
Uh-huh.
And those are the things that have been put in place specifically around MultiChoice South Africa, ensuring that it's got the right ownership structure around the broadcast license as well as, you know, the spectrum licenses that it holds.
I like that we're continuing with the analogy of a courtship because it clearly seems like the uncles came to the gate, they had the lunch, you know, the families are in agreement, but we just need to make sure that we finalize some of the loose ends. And maybe let's talk about that because a strong aspect of this is the South African operations that you've alluded to. And a refresh of the Competition Commission's outcomes was that no retrenchments need to take place within the next 3 years at the entity or group overall. But more so, this is where License Co. Is a fundamental driver of growth and the ensuring that transformation, BEE objectives, protection of Phuthumanathi shareholders, and as you've mentioned, applying with the abiding by the regulations also becomes a key aspect of the business going forward. Remind us around the importance and the structure of License Co. and what that might look like going forward with its ownership or influence on MultiChoice as a group.
So in essence, where we sit at the moment is that the regulations, you know, say that a broadcast entity in South Africa cannot have, you know, more than 20% of its control being in foreign hands.
Mm-hmm.
So to sort of go about fixing that situation, a distinction has sort of been made between the South African business, which actually holds that broadcast license in South Africa, as well as what's happening at the group level. So in essence, we're saying that Canal Plus can come in, take, that majority ownership in MultiChoice as a group.
Mm-hmm.
But the fix that they've been able to come around as a workaround is, let's ring fence the South African operation in essence, which is, yes, MultiChoice South Africa,
mm-hmm,
because that's the one that holds a broadcast license in South Africa. And then let's make sure that that specific entity, it has the right things around it, especially, around ownership. So in essence, MultiChoice is going to be, taking up about a 49% economic interest in, mm-hmm, that particular business, but will only limit its share of voting rights to 20%, that they adhere to that. And then secondly, they will have a 75% direct control, in MultiChoice South Africa. That's the workaround that they have. And then the other, aspect is that Putumanati, which many people will know is the BEE vehicle of,
yes,
MultiChoice,
mm-hmm,
is going to hold a 27% stake in that SA entity. The SA entity, for now, they're just calling it License Co., since that's the entity that holds the license. And then together with Putumanati, we've got two consortiums. One that is led by Sonia De Bruyn's Identity Partners. So that's the Identity Partners Itai Consortium. And then you've also got former Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko's 13th Avenue Investments. And that's how they've been able, to make sure that that entity has majority ownership and voting control in the hands of historically disadvantaged entities.
100%. And I think what you're highlighting here, coming through from the announcement, is really critical, because this just highlights the focus of how seriously this deal takes the regulatory controls in South Africa to such an extent, ensuring that there's a way within which the deal makers and participants have tried to ensure that they ring fence this accordingly. The Putumanati theme is also an important one, because this has been a key enabler of active participation for Black South Africans to participate in a shareholding in MultiChoice and also be receivers of dividends there. What about the rest of the continent? And I think this is the interesting play, because Canal Plus does have some exposure specifically to Francophone states. Have they complied with regulations in that particular arena? That's an aspect that we're not quite sure on yet.
That's an aspect that, at least for now, doesn't seem to have hit them with too many stumbling blocks as yet. We do anticipate that in one or two of the countries where MultiChoice holds broadcast licenses, that they may have to, give, certain ground in the same way that they have done in South Africa. But at least for now, there don't seem to be any hiccups as yet. And as we said, the main stumbling block was the fact that you've got MultiChoice as a group, but you've also got the fact that MultiChoice is a registered entity based in South Africa, which is why the South Africa business, becomes key. I'm sure that in other countries where they hold the broadcast licenses, they may have to navigate, but it's the fact that MultiChoice is headquartered in, South Africa, which is why this was something that they had to make sure, that they fixed, because these types of restrictions are not unique to South Africa. We do see them, in other parts of the world, in many countries. And we do see, I'll give the example of MTN, for example.
Yes.
MTN has five listed companies, MTN Group, Uganda, Rwanda, Ghana, and Nigeria.
Yeah.
And in outside of the JSC, all the countries that they have a listing, they've had to make sure that they are selling down their stake, you know, to make sure that there is an element of local ownership mm-hmm. in those entities. So we do see all of that, you know, that happening. But at least at group level for now, you know, Canal Plus seems to be in the clear.
100%. And I think that also does illustrate how robust our regulations are, not just in our local market, but across the continent too. So really good to see that. It's taken a while, but at least there's an acknowledgement for these processes. Mudiwa, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. One day we need an hour-long conversation to talk about this deal. The emotional attachment we also have to this particular brand as South Africans, just in terms of its evolution and its growth, and what life will look like for it after Canal Plus. Thanks again for your time.
Nice. Thank you so much, Google.
Thank you. That is Mudiwa Gavaza, business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail. He's been a good friend and colleague to us. Constantly, when we're unable to reach the necessary parties, then we do just deliberate on some of the outcomes and follow through with the in-depth research that Mudiwa has provided and done into this deal regarding Canal Plus and MultiChoice. As you've heard, following the SENS announcements, essentially MultiChoice confirming that they are going to reorganize the South African entities to comply with the rules and regulations of South Africa ahead of the Canal Plus deal going ahead.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.